This podcast contains general educational information on weight loss for physicians. I am not providing medical advice, and listening to this podcast does not create a physician-patient relationship. This podcast does not replace the need for consultation with a licensed professional, and no information should be relied upon unless you have obtained specific advice or treatment from myself or another physician. Please review the terms and conditions located at www.weightsolutionsforphysicians.ca before continuing. Hello and welcome to episode 283 of the Thriving as a Physician podcast. I have another bonus episode for you. Today, I'm sharing the third live session from my Binge Freedom Bootcamp. This is a really good one. What we are talking about in this session is the common pitfalls. So when you're thinking about things like binge eating, it's really easy to just focus on the front end and be like, I just need to stop. I need to figure out why I do this and stop. But long term, when we're working on habit change and really embedding lifestyle changes so they become second nature, we also have to look at the backside about what challenges am I going to face as I navigate this long term? Because especially things like binge eating are not just a one and done situation. It's something you will be working on for probably the rest of your life. It won't always feel this hard, especially if you get better tools and if you learn how to address it really at the reasons why you're binge eating and find ways of doing that that feel good and fit into your life. But it is something that you always have to be aware of. To coin a Harry Potter thing, it's like constant vigilance, meaning you just always have to kind of notice what's going on with it and make adjustments if it comes up. So long term, you are going to encounter pitfalls. And there are fairly classic ones that physicians often encounter. And that's what I was talking about in this live session. And so make sure you listen to this. If you've been listening to the other bonus sessions and listening about the binge eating content, this is a really important one that you don't want to miss. Okay, so make sure you listen to it. Now, if you're a physician and you struggle with binge eating, recovering from this on your own is really tough. It's hard to see the patterns because they're so deeply embedded. It's hard to have space in your life to actually pause and notice what's happening and create change. And that's why coaching is really powerful. So if you have been struggling with this, I really, really encourage you to come join us inside Thrive Academy. I can help you. In the 6 months of Thrive Academy, your binge eating will feel entirely different. You will feel so much more in control without working any harder than what you are right now. You will feel better in your days. You will feel better about your body. You will feel better about work and about your life in general. And you also will find that you're not binging as often, that they space way out. When they do happen, they're smaller, they're not as big of a deal, and you can recover faster from them. That is what we do inside Thrive Academy. And if you're a physician and you've had binge eating and you've been trying to fix it on your own, it is time to get expert help. I can help you with it. The first step is just heading over to Start to Thrive. That's start2thrive.ca. Fill in an application form. There's no obligation. There is no pressure. My interest is helping you if you want help and exploring whether or not this is the right program for you, whether or not it's a good fit. And so the second step of the process is once you filled out an application, if it looks like I think I can help you, we will have an opportunity to talk directly. You can tell me what your personal struggles are. You can tell me where you're worried that you may get stuck, and we can work through it together. We can talk about how it would look like if you worked with me on an ongoing basis inside Thrive Academy. Again, no pressure, no obligation at all. It's really an exploration of what your needs are and discussing how I can help you with them. And then the third step, if it feels like a good fit, you join us and we get going. And 6 months from now, you feel entirely different about your binge eating. You have freedom around food. You can trust yourself around food. When a binge does happen, you can problem solve it. You don't have to freak out about it. It's not a big deal. You can figure out why it happened and make steps so it doesn't happen again in the same way. Just think of the power that would have in your life. How much impact that would have. And on the flip side, you know, binge eating is one of those things. It's a neural pathway. So the more you're going through those binge patterns and staying stuck in them, trying to fix it with diets, trying to just strong arm yourself through, those neural pathways are getting more and more efficient. The habit loops are getting deeper, more deeply ingrained. So delaying to get help with this means that delay gives your brain more time to get these patterns more deeply ingrained, and it may be harder to sort them out down the road. Not impossible. We can always fix it, but it can be harder versus if we start now, if we create change now, you don't need to ingrain those habit loops from the binge eating any further. We can start building new neural pathways that support more positive habits that help support you feeling more in control around food. Sound good? Head over to starttothrive.ca, starttothrive.ca, fill out your application, and then we'll chat. All right, let's get to the bonus episode. Today, what we are talking about is navigating pitfalls. So rather than, I think it's always useful to think about, okay, this is what I want to accomplish. Where might I get tripped up? And over the years, I've worked with a lot of physicians with binge eating, and there's always common themes that come up. And so we're going to talk about the places where people often get tripped up. First, for anybody who's new, I'm Siobhan Key. I am an obesity medicine physician, family physician, and I help physicians go from feeling frustrated with their eating to feeling comfortable and being able to relax around food while also meeting their health goals. And thank you for joining me. Just as a disclaimer, this presentation is for educational purposes only. It doesn't constitute medical advice. If you have specific personal medical questions, please consult your physician. We've been doing the Binge Freedom Bootcamp all month long. This is the last live session. There will be more email support coming. So we've talked about what is binge eating, how do we understand it. We've talked about all the different places you actually can intervene so you're not just trying not to eat. And then today we're talking about the pitfalls, what you need to be aware of as you're working towards recovery. And then through the email, I've been trying to send you regular motivation just to help keep you focused on the change you're creating, and keep you feeling good. And my promise to you in this bootcamp is that I'm here to support you. If you have questions, I'm going to stay after and answer all of them. You can email me if you have a question in response to one of my emails. And the purpose of this boot camp is not to completely fix your binge eating. That's not a realistic expectation from a 1 month boot camp. But it is having a deeper understanding about what is effective when we're talking about changing binge eating, because just looking for another diet isn't effective. It actually keeps you stuck in the binge eating cycles. So from this bootcamp, I hope that you walk away having hope, feeling more empowered in your ability to create change, and having an understanding of where you need to be focusing and stuff. Really recovering from binge eating though often does take support. And so at the end of the session, I'll talk to you about Thrive Academy for Physicians and how I help you manage binge eating and recover from binge eating inside Thrive Academy for Physicians. So today what we're covering, I'm going to review some of the important points from previous sessions, just so we're refreshed about them. We'll talk about the top three pitfalls. We're going to talk about where to focus when you're looking at long-term recovery. And then at the end, we'll talk about how to work with me. So if you're a physician and you do struggle with binge eating and you've been enjoying the content, we'll talk about how you can keep working with me to keep getting ongoing support so that you can create real lasting change in your eating. So what does recovery look like? I just wanted to refresh this because this is a place where it's easy to get a little trippy in our brains about it. And so if you have binge eating, almost everybody I've ever worked with binge eating really just wishes it could just be removed, cut out, IND, whatever it takes so that you never have to deal with it again. And the reality is that's not how it looks. So if we think recovery is I never binge again as soon as I start working on it, you're setting yourself up to feel like you're failing. And you're also setting yourself up so that you don't see the success you actually are creating. So it's important to know in reality, what does recovery look like? How do we measure success? So first, it's decreased frequency. So, you know, if you're somebody who has binges every week, as you do this work, you'll probably find, okay, now maybe just one a week, maybe one every couple of weeks. Now maybe it's been one a month. Now maybe I go a couple months between binges. That's a typical recovery pattern. Decreased intensity. So when you have a binge, it's not as much. You don't eat as much food. It doesn't feel as like out of control and really compelling as what it may have previously. And more distress tolerance. So things that used to trigger binges won't trigger them. You'll be often what happens with this is you're like, oh, wait, that was something pretty stressful. And I didn't end up having a binge. Whereas previously I would have had a binge. And the other piece I don't have a slide for is quicker recovery. I think that's another sign. So after having a binge, instead of being kind of stuck feeling bad about it, maybe continuing to eat and continue to have binges for days later, as you do this work, you start to become better to be like, okay, that happened. Now I just get back to my normal. And so it doesn't drag you down for as long. And so those are the things that we're looking for. And those are the things that it's important to intentionally look for so that you do notice where you're having success and you acknowledge the progress you're making. Because again, if your brain is thinking the only success is zero binges, then it will interpret any binge as bad as failure. And it won't be able to see that maybe this binge has been a long time between since the last one, or maybe this one is actually way smaller than what they would have been before. And maybe I was actually able to kind of get myself out of it and turn around faster. It won't see that if we're thinking that the only form of success is no binges. So it's important to talk to yourself about what recovery really actually looks like and look for those signs of recovery. So how do you decrease binges? This was from our second session. So those of you who are there probably recognize it. But if we're thinking about stress level on the y-axis, time on the x-axis, you think of having like a binge threshold point. So when you have stresses, if they're below that threshold, they're probably not going to trigger a binge. Once they start getting above that threshold, they start to trigger the urge to binge. And then after a binge, they start coming back down in the recovery phase. So this is helpful because we can look at it as finding places to intervene. And the way I think about it, there's two ways that we reduce the number of binges. Number one is we increase your threshold. Increasing your threshold is learning skills that help manage your stress, help react to stress in a more effective way than binging, help do that earlier on in the cascade. So you're not just trying to intervene once you're already having that intense need to binge. Having more self-care would also be something that helps increase your threshold. And then the other one is decrease stressors. So again, learning how to manage your stress by changing things that are in your control. So as physicians, a lot of stuff is not in our control, but there are elements that are in our control. And in the second session I shared, one of the biggest ones that can really have impact in your days and doesn't take more time is really working on how do we think in these different situations. So when there's a stressor going on, like it's a really busy day and there's a whole lot of people to see, if we're thinking thoughts like, oh my gosh, I'm so far behind, I'm not going to get it done, there's so much to do, that is going to amp up your stress and probably make you less efficient too. Versus if you be like, okay, you know what, I just need to focus on the next thing that needs to get done. Or a thought I've used a lot in my life is everything that needs to get done will get done, because it's true. We have a lot of evidence for that. That then can bring the stressor down even if the actual situation doesn't change. So learning how to leverage that in different ways that you can work in a high demand job like a physician without always taking on more stress will reduce your number of binges because then the stress level doesn't cross that threshold. And the best option, which is what we do inside Thrive Academy for physicians, is you do both. You work on lowering your stress levels so your day feels better. You don't spend your entire life feeling like you're stressed and you're running a marathon, and also work on raising that threshold. And what that means is then the number of binges that happen are going to be much, much less. It's going to take something bigger in your life to cross that threshold and trigger a binge. Questions about that? Because I think that's a really important concept to understand when you're thinking about how is it that I create change in my eating. You'll notice, and I want to just be really explicitly clear about this, there is nothing on this that says you need to not eat this food or that food, right? What we're talking about and what binge recovery is has very little to do with food. And it definitely does not have anything to do with restricting your food and being on a new diet. A new diet will not fix binge eating. It will keep you stuck in the binge eating cycle. So if you have questions or thoughts about it, type in the chat for me so that I can see and I can address them for you. So let's talk about the pitfalls. The first pitfall is judging your progress. This is really common. I see this a lot. Again, I think it comes down to that idea of if binge eating is often painful, right? Like you've had it maybe your whole life or quite a few years. It's something that you often feel ashamed about. You wish it wasn't there. You try to keep it hidden from everybody else. And what that means is that you really just want to move on. You don't want to always be dealing with it. And so when you start to try to work on it, it's very easy to have very linear type thinking in relation to it, which gets in your way. So the reality is, as you work on recovering from binge eating, you will have quote unquote mistakes. You will have binges. And there will definitely be times in your recovery where it feels like nothing has changed. You worry, I'm back at square one. I'm never going to be able to do this. And I just want you to know this is all part of the process. So as you go, when you hit days like that, recognize this is part of the process. And it's part of the process, mainly because of the thought patterns that are related to the binge eating. A big piece of the binge eating pattern is beating yourself up about the eating. And so that piece of your brain, it's really easy for it to tell you that you're not doing things well enough, that you should be doing things differently. And I just want you to know that's not true. This is not something that you can just be like, bang, it's fixed. I'm never going to deal with it again. It is a growth process. Like I said, a diet does not fix this. If it's not a matter of just somebody laying out, oh, just eat this and that and you'll be fine. It's really a matter of you having the support to figure out where the binge eating is coming from, what is driving it, and then being able to come up with solutions that work for you in your life. So this is a really important piece, is if you're expecting yourself to like conform to somebody else's ideal of what your life should look like and what you need to do in your life in order to recover from binge eating, it is probably not going to be successful, especially as physicians where there's not a lot of extra give to our lives. When we try to take on a bunch of other rules and we're like, okay, well, I need to be meal prepping. I need to be doing all this stuff. It often just doesn't work and it falls a bit to pieces when we hit a busy week. So for a physician, in order for you to recover from binge eating, you have to be meeting yourself where you're at. And learning from whatever happens and recognizing that if you're judging yourself, if you're telling yourself, I shouldn't have made that mistake, I should be over this, I shouldn't be having any binges anymore, then it's probably going to make it really hard for you to actually learn about what really will help you recover from your binge eating. And so judging your progress is a block to recovering. When we think about when we're judging ourselves, telling yourselves, I never should have eaten that, I made such a big mistake, I had a binge last night, I can't believe I did that again, I'm supposed to be recovering. These would all be classic things that people say to themselves. Essentially, it's like a brick wall. Like your brain is building a brick wall and you can't see past it. It's just this statement of fact, I shouldn't have done that, that was bad, I always do this. And you can't create recovery from that place. It's next to impossible. What works for recovery is being able to be, I notice that I just had another binge. I wonder what was going on today. What might have been behind that? What was it that I really needed? What was my day like? When did I start having the urge to start thinking, when I started to think about maybe I'll start to eat or starting to think about the binge? Those are the things that will actually help you create lasting change in your eating. And if you're judging yourself, you will not be able to access that. Kathy, you said, I feel unhealthy eating urges. You've used the wait 10 minutes to eat. 10 minutes later, the urge might be gone. It's not helping you under high stress, but helps in medium stress. Yeah, which is great, right? So if you're like, okay, this is a useful tool for me when I'm kind of this amount of stress, then the next step is figuring out, okay, when I'm that higher level of stress and waiting 10 minutes isn't enough, what actually would be helpful? And the other piece of it, like going back to that slide where I showed you guys the graph, is also thinking in those really high stress moments, what is it that's making me so stressed out? And is there something I can do about it? So maybe I don't have those high stress moments as often in my life. Tell me if that's helpful, Kathy. Okay, so the solution, no matter what happens, look for what is working. Your brain will not tell you what is working. It will tell you everything that didn't work. That's the default it will do. You have to be like, okay, yeah, but what is working here? And that will help put you in a position where you may notice, okay, you know what? Yes, I had a binge, but maybe what I was doing earlier on worked for a little bit. Can I build on that? You want to catch the tough love. It's not wrong when it happens. It's normal. It's common. Your brain has had practice being in that tough love situation for so long. It's okay that it comes up, but you just want to catch it and shift out and be like, oh, right, that's not going to help me. Can I get curious about what happened? So, second pitfall is rushing the process. So if you think about it, if you've struggled with binge eating and you just want it gone, it's really easy to be like, it needs to be gone yesterday. And also, I think what I also see a lot is it needs to be gone yesterday and I also need to have lost this weight yesterday. And the reality is that recovering from the binge eating is not hard. The actual recovering is way less hard than what you are doing right now. I promise you, but it takes time. It's not instant. And the recovery will never be linear. It's not just going to be this like, whoop, like we really wish it was, right? Like we wish everything was linear because we really like ourselves some like steady progress that we can chart. But you know, weight loss is never linear. Recovering from binge eating is never going to be linear. It's going to be like this. And you, when you look back the trend over time, you'll notice a change. But in those moments, sometimes it's hard to see. And judging your progress is normal. Saying things aren't happening fast enough, I should have lost more weight from now by now. But the problem is that it tends to push you back towards dieting which pushes you into the binge restrict cycle more. So when you're like, it needs to happen faster, your brain likely will be like, oh, I know how to make that happen. We're just going to cut this and this and everything else we've ever loved in our life and out of, and we're never going to touch it again. And we're going to tell ourselves we're not allowed any of that, which seems, can seem okay in a moment. But there's the flip side of it where you feel restricted, you feel deprived, you have this extra pressure on yourself, plus the daily stresses of being a doctor. And ultimately, it starts to push you into more binges. You start to feel less, you feel destabilized in your eating and start to feel more frustrated at yourself, lean on the restriction piece. And yet the binges keep happening more. And you feel like you're the one failing. And it's not. It's just that the way we've been taught to approach our eating and weight doesn't work for binge eating. It doesn't work for long-term weight management either. Like, we can be very honest with that. But it really, really doesn't work for binge eating. And so I wanted to put the next slide. I'll show you the binge restrict cycle again, because I think that's really helpful to have in your mind when you're noticing your body push yourself into this. Lots of the physicians that I've worked with binge eating are surprised how much, as they get to know their brain and how it's behaving around food, surprised how much it's pushing towards that restriction, how much of the thoughts that just sound default around what we should or shouldn't eat actually are restriction thoughts. And when we're rushing and we're getting pushed more into that binge restrict cycle, what happens is your progress slows down even more. And then again, you get frustrated. And here's the thing that is always such a shame is when this stuff is happening, you feel like you're slowing down, you feel like your eating is destabilized. Who do you blame? Right? Do you ever go, well, this is just diet culture and it's messing me up? Most likely not. You're probably blaming yourself and assuming it's your problem, when it's really just how you've been taught to approach this and these old diet type loops kicking in. And they've been around for so long, they kick in really easily. It makes sense that they kick in. And as you go working on your binge eating, you will kick back into restriction. And that's not the problem. You just want to be able to recognize it and be able to shift yourself out. And I think this is probably one of the biggest roles I play as a coach for physicians with binge eating, is being able to help them notice when they're getting into restriction and offer that support on how can we shift out, how can we shift to abundance. Because when you're in it, I think it's really hard to think of anything but restriction. Our brains are so used to restriction is the one answer that it's hard to think, I can think abundantly about my food. And often, if you're trying to do it on your own, I would bet that you feel like, oh no, there's no way I can, because then I'm just going to go off the rails. And so this restriction is the thing that makes sense. When you're doing it on your own, it's very hard to be objective with your own thought loops, because they've been there for so long. They're so deeply ingrained that it's hard to notice them. And it's definitely hard to switch out. And that's the benefit of having a coach with this, is you get that objective viewpoint to help pull you out of those thought loops so that we start building new ones that are more helpful for you. So the binge restrict cycle, basically, you know, a binge pushes back towards restriction. You try to compensate for the binge. I need to be extra careful. Tomorrow I'm going to fast longer. I'm going to only eat a salad, whatever it is. And then having that restriction ultimately pushes you towards another binge. And what we talked about in the first session is there's lots of places you can step out of the binge restrict cycle, but that restrict piece is one of my favorite places to start, because it's easier, right? Like, it's not easy to step out of the binge side. If you're already feeling the urge to binge, you can, and I can teach you skills to do it for sure, but it wouldn't be like the first level of skills that I would suggest trying, because it takes more effort and it's trying to put effort in at a time where you are probably more vulnerable, because you have been pushed to the point where that stress is past your binge threshold. On the restrict side, though, that's an easier place to intervene because it's not about don't eat. It's actually about, okay, we're going to eat more. So when you notice yourself pushing towards the restrict, you notice yourself saying, I need to make this happen faster. That's part of the skill is pulling back and being like, okay, I don't actually need to make it faster, trying to push it and manhandle it to make it go faster is probably going to slow it down because it's going to push me into this cycle. How can I move away from that restrict is what I would suggest doing. Questions and thoughts about that. So the solution is really, as you go through this journey, the first focus needs to be on stabilizing your eating. I mentioned this in one of the other sessions, but it is hard to focus on stabilizing binge eating, recovery from binge eating, and also losing weight at the same time, because that losing weight piece really keeps pushing back into that restrict part of that cycle. And you need to be patient with yourself. You're human. These patterns have been there for a long time. They are not going to go away overnight, but they will improve over time. So when you're patient, when you're curious, when you're kind to yourself, they do change. And like I said on one of the other slides, the actual change when you have effective tools is not hard. We're not talking about doing hard stuff. We're talking about working on this issue with more effective tools that feel good to you and fit into your life. Then it becomes simpler, but it's still a journey that takes time and patience. And so Kathy, you said you like the idea of brainstorming tools for high stress and also reducing the stress too. Second part is not my strongest skill. Yeah. And you know what's interesting is we were never taught to manage our stress. Like as doctors, I think it's maybe slightly better depending what program people are in now, but definitely when I went through, there was no talk about how do we manage our stress. We were taught to just shove it down and keep going. you know, you didn't sleep. That's okay. You have to get up and keep going. Right. So, you know, if it's not our strongest skill, that's okay. And it makes sense. And I honestly think that's why coaching is so powerful for physicians and why it's supported by RCT studies is because it helps us develop that skill that we were never given. We were handed these high stress jobs with all these demands on our mental energy and our time. And nobody taught us how to cope with it. Nobody taught us how to care for ourselves during it. And so what ends up happening then is at some point your brain stepped in and it's like, okay, you know what? This food seems to help. So we're going to go with that because we're tired. We don't have energy to do a bunch of other stuff because we're exhausted and stressed. So we're going to go with that. And that's where eating becomes an issue for physicians and why it makes so much sense that so many physicians struggle with eating, even though we have all this health information, this knowledge. When physicians struggle with eating, it is not a knowledge issue. It is a management of stress, a self-care issue, just having time to consider yourself in your day issue. Those are the things that actually drive the eating for physicians. And as long as we're thinking about it as being a food issue, you will never actually correct it. You will always feel like you're struggling with this piece of you that can't stop eating. But it can't stop eating because of these other issues. And that's what we need to fix. And that's what we do inside Thrive Academy for physicians is we look at, okay, what are the actual issues? How can we create change that's really simple and really fits into your life and feels really good? I was just I have a platinum group, which is a special group of Thrive Academy. And we were just meeting before this. And we were talking about making food decisions, but really working on making them from a place of, it's not that I'm not allowed this food. It's not that I can't join in, but I have really good reasons why I don't actually want to eat that food. When we truly look at what it is that we deserve, the food is a surrogate for what we actually deserve. It feels like we deserve the food. It feels like we deserve that reward, but it's a surrogate for we deserve a break. We deserve rest. We deserve time to ourselves. We deserve comfort. We deserve to be able to relax and unwind. And the food is a surrogate. So our brain goes there first, but it doesn't actually accomplish what we're really wanting. And if we can learn to talk to ourselves in a different way about our food, it goes a long way to making these decisions and navigating this, but feeling really, really good when you do it. It's a little bit of a tangent, but let's talk about shame and binge eating. So pitfall number three is letting shame isolate you. And this is a big thing for binge eating. And I think it's a really important piece to be aware of, because the shame and the guilt is inherent in the binge eating condition. So it's part of the cycle. And throughout your recovery, that shame is going to try to isolate you, because it views it as, we need to hide this. We need to not talk about this. This is our own secret. We need to deal with this on our own. And so maybe that shows up for you, like you feel like you need to keep trying this on your own. And I see that with a lot of physicians where we talk and I can 100% help them, but there's this element where they feel like they need to keep going on their own because it feels like it shouldn't be something you ask for help with. And that's completely wrong. It absolutely is something that you should ask for help with. And you deserve to get help with so that you're not always struggling with it. The other thing is, maybe when you're struggling, you turn inwards. You hide it. You hope people don't notice. You isolate yourself more in it. When I'm working with physicians, sometimes when they're struggling, they pull away and they don't want to tell me they're struggling because of this inherent shame that's in this condition. And we talk about it in the program on purpose because I say, this will happen. It's not like maybe it's going to happen. It will happen. There will be times where you feel like you shouldn't speak up and say you're struggling. And really, that's just that shame that's part of the condition and part of that cycle. And so the truth is that binge eating thrives in isolation and shame. It depends on isolation and shame in order to stay around. And if you haven't been able to change your binge eating so far on your own, you probably do need help. And it goes back to what I was saying about these thought patterns are so deeply embedded. They're strong, they're sneaky, they're hard to see in your own brain. And that makes it hard to recover because you'll start to get a bit of a toehold and then it'll kick back into one of those thought loops, like the restriction type thinking, the judging type thinking. But the problem is when you're doing it on your own, it will sound like the truth. And the power of having somebody helping you, having a community around you, is then you have people to say, that's not actually the truth. This is part of the process. It's okay that this is happening. Here's how we get out of it. So, you know, if you have been struggling on your own and you haven't had success in the way that you want, it is okay. It makes sense that that hasn't happened. It would be a really good time to reach out and get help. And like I said, it's hard to be objective in your own brain. It's having somebody else who can be objective is very, very powerful when it comes to binge eating. And so the solution is get support from people who understand binge eating. And I would add to this too, being in a community of other physicians is really important, because when you are a physician who has binge eating, chances are you are judging yourself in an extra special kind of way. Tell me in the chat if this is true, because you are a doctor and you have binge eating. And it may at times feel like you must be the only doctor who binge eats. And this is, I think, one of the biggest pieces of healing that happens when you are in a group. And this is why I do Thrive Academy as a group, because when you are listening to another physician talk about something that you thought you were the only one who did, there's healing that happens in that moment. All of a sudden you have that feeling like, oh, I'm not alone. It's not just me. And that starts to release a bit of the shame. That starts to release some of that feeling of, I have to like fix this on my own. I can't reach out when I'm struggling. It opens up possibility of maybe it's actually okay. Maybe it makes sense. Maybe we are all in this together, and that makes it easier to start creating change. So today we've talked about the important points from the previous sessions. So we talked about what does recovery look like. I like to think of recovery from binge eating similar to how we think about migraine prophylaxis, right? We don't say you're never going to have another migraine. We say, you know what, we're going to try some medication, and hopefully if it's helpful, you will have fewer migraines. When you have a migraine, it won't hurt as much. It won't last as long. You're going to recover more easily. Things that trigger your migraines right now might not trigger them. That's the same as what recovery from binge eating looks like. And the more you can talk to yourself about what actual recovery looks like, the better off you're going to be and the better your journey is going to go. We talked about that structure of looking at why the binge eating happens and the different places we can intervene, in that either we can think about how can we raise that binge threshold, or we can think about how can we reduce the stresses. And both of those things will ultimately result in fewer binges. When we do both together, it amplifies. And that's the power of coaching, because everything that we're doing is actually accomplishing both of those together without adding a whole bunch of work to your day. We talked about the three pitfalls you're going to run into. So the judging yourself, kind of being very, perfectionistic of it needs to all be fixed, versus the reality of recovery is there's going to be ups and downs. There's going to be times where it feels like it's going okay, times where you feel like nothing changed. It's all normal. But when you're judging yourself, it makes it really hard to learn from what's happening. A lot of recovery from binging is learning from what happened. So having a binge and being able to be in a space where you can safely look at it and go, okay, I wonder what was going on there. What could I do differently to make it so I'm less likely to have a binge next time? The trying to rush yourself. So feeling like you're not creating enough change, trying to bring weight loss in the same time that you're trying to stabilize your eating, and pushing yourself back towards the binge restrict cycle, which then ultimately slows you down. So by trying to rush yourself, generally you'll slow yourself down. You'll make your journey more hard or more difficult. And being patient really is the answer. And then the third one was isolating yourself, being like, you know, I can't get help until I've improved to a certain point. I shouldn't get help because I'm a physician. When you're struggling, being like, I need to just hide this from everybody in my life, which is really, really common. A lot of the physicians I work with have never talked to anybody else about their binge eating. And if that's you, you're not alone. But also that's why it's really important to have a community where you can openly talk about it, where you're not judged, where the community is like, oh yeah, I get it. I understand. I've been there too. And where you can learn from other people who are in the journey with you, right? And then where to focus for long-term recovery. And so looking at, you need to be curious. You need to be patient. The long-term recovery isn't going to come from the diet. The long-term recovery is going to come from really understanding why it is that you have binges and addressing the root cause, not just trying not to eat. That's what recovery takes. And that's why, again, it's challenging to do on your own. It's not impossible, but it's challenging to do on your own, because it does, if you're trying to do it on your own and you're trying to figure out, where is this coming from? What do I do instead? It's a lot of mental energy that you could be spending in a day to do that. And you may not be able to sustain that mental energy, nor you may not be able to see the real reasons, just because of that, what I talked about, that it's hard to see yourself objectively. Those thought loops are very deep. So let's zoom out and kind of look at the big picture of binge eating. And then, like I said, at the end, we'll talk about Thrive Academy for Physicians and how you can work with me on an ongoing basis so that you get help so that binge eating isn't something that runs your life for, you know, the rest of your life. In the span of 6 months, you can actually feel confident about it, far more in control, able to problem solve when binges do happen. And those are really, really powerful changes. So when we think about it, always looking over your shoulder, waiting for the next binge, being like, is it going to happen today? Am I going to have a binge today? What if I have a binge? What if I'm, you know, in this environment, and it triggers a binge. It's really exhausting. And honestly, as physicians, we don't have space to do more exhausting stuff. You do enough exhausting stuff. Adding this in is this extra layer of exhaustion to your day. And there's very good reasons why physicians binge eat, and none of them have to do with lack of knowledge. We've talked about this. They have more to do with the fact that we were handed very high stress jobs, along with all the other roles we play in our lives, and nobody taught us how to care for ourselves in it. They taught us what healthy food looks like. Nobody taught us how do you actually get yourself to eat that on a regular basis when you haven't had a moment to pee in your day and you're thinking about all the work you still have to do and you haven't had time to prepare any food. Nobody taught us those skills. So if you're struggling with this, it's okay. It makes sense. Having your medical degree does not protect you from struggling with eating at all. I would say it makes you more likely to struggle with eating. But the good news is you can recover from binge eating. Absolutely. And you can feel in control and relaxed around food. And that has a huge impact on your days. So if we talked about that stress of always looking over your shoulder for the next binge and worrying when it's going to come, when we can take that away and you can be like, I feel good about my ability to navigate around food. I'm not always thinking about food. I can enjoy the food I do eat and not obsess about what I shouldn't have eaten or what I should be eating. Just that creates so much space in your days. And your days feel better. It has a huge, huge impact on your life, way beyond what you're eating and what your weight does. Binge eating has a lot of cost to you that has nothing to do with weight and nothing to do with food. And so that's why it is important and why you deserve to work on it. Not just because you shouldn't be eating a lot of food. That's not the reason to do this work. The reason to do this work is because feeling out of control, judging yourself for what you're eating, always feeling like you have to be struggling with food and always overthinking it has a cost to you. It makes your days harder. It makes you feel worse about yourself, and you deserve to feel really good about yourself because you do amazing things every day. All right. I hope you really have enjoyed the Binge Freedom Bootcamp. I really hope that what this series of bonus episodes has given you is hope that things could be different. Relief of some of that shame and the guilt and the feeling out of control that you may have experienced around binge eating. And a recognition that when you want help, help is here. You don't have to struggle with this alone. You don't have to keep trying diets and finding out that they don't work and that they make you feel worse about yourself. We can address binge eating much more effectively. And we do it inside Thrive Academy for Physicians. If you want help, if you're a physician, I am here to help. All you have to do is head over to start2thrive.ca and fill in an application form, set up a time for us to chat, and then we'll get going so that in 6 months from now, even less than 6 months, you start to feel more free around food. You're not spending your days thinking about what you should or shouldn't eat, worrying that a binge is going to happen. You can just spend your days enjoying your days. You don't have to hide your eating anymore. All of these things where binge eating has a real significant impact into your life in more than just food ways start to feel better. You feel better about your body. You have better self-confidence. you feel like you can trust yourself around food. You can start becoming that person that can feel comfortable around food without feeling like they're hanging on for dear life with willpower. If that's what you want, then head over to starttothrive.ca. I would love to chat to you. Have a fantastic day, guys. Bye-bye.